Number one, Ephesians chapter number one, if you would please. Ephesians chapter number one. We're looking and picking up on that thought about God's purpose for the church, and which we started on last Sunday night. I want you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Look at verse number 18. We'll start there. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Remember, we were talking last week about the hope of his calling, and Paul wanted them to know that. And then what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And somehow that touched my heart in such a way that I'd read it, I'd looked at it. Fact is, I'd even looked back through some stuff I had, some notes I'd made, and mentioned that. But somehow it just dawned on me, more so than ever before, that Jesus has an inheritance in us. And I can't get over the fact that I have an inheritance in him. It's a good, he let me get in with him, amen. And then him, he's going to get some glory out of me. And I say, glory, hallelujah. When the church is put on display one day, and the trophy of his grace, it'll be joy to his heart. And for the joy, in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Hey, that joy is saving sinners. That joy is the church that he's putting together, that bride he's putting together for him. Now look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I say hallelujah for that power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all, filleth all in all. And let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, these things that you said that we may know, and that Paul wanted those believers to know, and that we can know. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the sweetness and the depth of the what he's talked about, that we can't fully comprehend it nor take it all in. But, Lord, we do experience the grace of God. And we do experience that salvation that comes through believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us and saving us. And thank you, Lord, you let us get into this great work of God that you're doing on this earth. And that we have a part, God, to be involved in. And I pray that you'd help us tonight now to preach. And Lord, these people of our church that we're concerned about, those who are sick. Many of them asked for prayer today. And Lord, you know their hearts. And you know their body needs and their hearts long to be here, but the body's not able. And so I pray, God, you'd help them, you touch them, and bless them. Then for Sister Carolyn's family in bereavement, I pray for them. I pray you'd help in that situation. And Lord, I ask you tonight now, Father, take the word of God. People here tonight that's unsaved need Jesus. And I pray the Holy Ghost, God, would do a work that only you can do. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd help us for a few moments to try to preach the word of God, speak to us and through us, take that word, make it real to hearts. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're thinking about God's purpose for the church and dealing with that. And as we talked about that last week, we dealt with the fact that these things Paul wanted them to know, but you can't know unless you've been enlightened and that you've been saved by the grace of God. And again, I preach tonight. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you and that Jesus cares and that you can be saved. And I don't care what you're involved in. It doesn't make any difference what you're looking for, what you're trying to find. You'll never really find peace nor joy nor satisfaction outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may do all that you can try to do and accomplish some things, and you may try drugs, you may try other pleasures and drinking or whatever, and you may try to live your life in rebellion, you may try to live your life any way you want to try to live it. But I promise you one thing, God someday will get your attention. God someday, somewhere, you'll have to bow before Him, and you will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That'll either be in this life or in the life to come. I'm glad I've already bowed this side of eternity. I've already asked God to save me. I've already confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I praise Him and thank Him that it's real to my heart that I have confessed that. And it's real. And I can, now tonight, if I have to drop over dead, body dead, it won't really die, be dead, separated from God. I'd body go put in the ground somewhere, but I'll be over in glory shouting hallelujah with Jesus and thanking Him and praising Him and having great service like we got a taste. I believe the next best place to heaven is being in a church service when God breathes on it and the power of God comes and God just gets people beside themselves and they get the praising God. Amen. And hallelujah, I love it, I love it, I love it. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're saved and you get in it and you enjoy it and it stirs your heart, stirs your life, and you get excited about it. Well, I'm excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, how good He really is. He's good. Now tonight, if you're not saved, you say, preacher, what must I do? And I'm glad you asked because I wanted to tell you. What must I do? Repent. And repentance is being sorry for sin, but not only sorry for sin, not only sorry that you have sinned and sorry that you are a sinner, but so sorry that you have sinned against the holy God that you are willing to turn from sin unto God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt confess to thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I gave someone recently a Mark New Testament, and somebody was trying to reach for the Lord Jesus, and I got a call a while ago and stirred my heart. And Brother Richard had been working with us on this one, and she had taken that book, that Bible, and looked those scriptures up, and God got to dealing with her heart. And she said the other night she was sitting there reading those scriptures and God dealing with her, and she got down and asked God to save her. I say hallelujah. It's no better. It can't get better than that. And a babe in Christ, she'll have to grow in grace and all that, but the word of God's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, and mind, discerning the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Did you know that's why God uses the word of God, because he chose that way, because it's sharp and it's piercing and it gets to the heart. And He uses that word in preaching it and teaching it and reading it and somebody reading it to you, somebody pointing it to you. I told you about a fellow up in a rural retreat that couldn't read nor write. But he was out witnessing one day, and I asked him, John, where you been? I've been up to this house. I said, what you been doing? He said, I've been telling him about Jesus. And he had his Bible in his hand. He said, I've been pointing to this scripture and telling him to read it. Is this right? Somebody marked Romans 10, 9 and 10 for him. I said, you got it. You got to keep on sticking it under their nose, amen, and let them read it for themselves. And he was doing that. The word is powerful, and the word will do what God said it would do. And you don't like the word if you're not saved, because it bothers you, makes you uncomfortable. And I'm glad it does. I want to make you uncomfortable, amen, because when you realize you're uncomfortable and you need something, you're a good candidate to get saved. And if you ever get saved, and God can and will save you tonight, if you get saved, then you can go out of the house of God saying, it sure is better than being lost. Amen. You can go home tonight with peace in your heart, pillow your head, and say, if Jesus comes, I'm going to heaven. If I have to my heart quits tonight, I'll wake up and on the other side in glory. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that. You said God won't put me in any place where I have to leave out of this world. I was in a service and preaching in Tennessee, preaching revival. Young man stood there and trembled in invitation. Other people had gotten saved and things would happen for God. And he kept saying no, no, wouldn't pay it, tried not to pay attention, but God had backed him in a corner, and he went away. But as far as I know, he died and went to hell, because the next morning or the morning after, he drove a large dump truck over the side of a mountain and killed him. And I pray he got saved, but I don't know that he did. But I've thought about that. That memory lingers in my mind, seeing that young man in the house of God, hearing preaching, hearing singing, God working, and saying no to Jesus. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Now, let me get to what I want to say tonight about the church, but I wanted to say that. I had it on my heart about unsaved, because somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to come to know Jesus Christ. I pray you will. Friend, if I could do the best thing for you, if I could come and just hug you up and save you, I'd crawl my hands and knees to get to you and to hug you and save you. If I could just kiss your feet and that'd save you, I'd do that. I'd do whatever, but I can't save you. I can't do anything to save you except tell you about Jesus and point you to Calvary, that Jesus can save you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. The rest of the crowd around here is saved, the same boat I am, sinner saved by grace. But thank God that makes us somebody going somewhere. I'm glad I got to know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. What a blessed thought that is. Now, look in the scripture, verse 23 of our text, which is the body, talking about now the church. And he said in verse 22, and have put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. And so the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful to be a part of the body. Amen. Turn with me back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to look at this in verse number 12. The body. We are the body. Now think about that. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. We are the body. Now listen to what he says. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been made all to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And so forth it goes. And the body's made up of different members. But the body, for the head to get something to function, has to have a body. And so we are the body. When you think about that, the church is a body of Christ and functioning under his leadership and his care. And the body, you know what a body does? A body does what the head says to do. If the brain isn't working, it doesn't tell the body what to do, even breathing. If the head isn't working, then to move your hand, to pick up a Bible, to take a step in the right direction toward the altar. Thank God you have mind enough to know this. Tell your feet to move. Amen. And we can do those things, and we need to. And the body has to have that head to tell it what to do. Has anybody here, I'm sure they have, has other people here killed chickens before? Now, if you never killed a chicken, hey, Brother Kenya raised his hand up high back there. Hey, amen. Where he come from, they killed a lot of chickens. And but anyway, you can kill. I remember killing chickens as a boy, and most all of you dudes raised in the country at all, you remember killing chickens. And you take that chicken, and sometimes they'd wring its head off. I never could like to do that. wringing its head off. Sometimes they'd hang them on a clothesline, tie the feet together, and take a knife and swipe their heads off. Susan's mother's laughing about that. She saw that done. And but the way we did it, we'd take their head and put it on a chop block and stretch its neck out. And poor little old thing, he'd lay there and let his neck hang out. Sometimes he'd draw it back. I have chopped her beak off. That chicken was trying to outsmart me. I said, keep your head out there. Amen. You can't eat with that big beak like that. So I'd stretch his neck out, whack it off. And boy, that head fall off. Now, chicken's good eating. Amen. But when that head fell off, you know what happened? That chicken would flop. I mean, he flopped, blood squirting, and it'd just flop around. Didn't know where it's going. Didn't know what it's doing. All it did was react, just flopping. Just flopping. That's exactly how people are in this world. That is not under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. All they're doing is flopping around. They're flopping around because they don't have anything to guide them. They don't have anything to tell them which way to go, what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing. They're just flopping. And until they die, and that's then cleaned up neat, amen. But that's the way some folk are in this world. They just flop around, no head to guide them. And if a church didn't have a head over it, then it'd be in a mess sure enough. Because Jesus is the head, amen. He's all and over all and in all. I say hallelujah for the church. And all we know to do is what the head tells us to do. And if we'll obey the body is to obey the head. What if you told your hand, I want you to pick up this handkerchief. And the hand said, I don't want to do it. Hand, behave. Amen. I said, pick it up. And the head, and that hand obey, because it's a vital part. It's connected up to. It's got the right nerves to it. It's got the right concept to it. It's put together right. I was preaching up Chris Haslam's yesterday, and I told him I was put together wrong. My nose run and my feet smell. Y'all get that after a while. Amen. But that be as it may. If the hand and the foot and the nose is not right, it just doesn't function right. It doesn't work right. We have to follow the head. Amen. But I want to show you something else here in the book of Ephesians. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. The bride of Christ. We're the body. He's the head. And we are to do what he said. He said, go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's our job. And we are to obey him. And he said, live for me, separate from the world. He said, crucify self. He tells us all these things to do. And if the body's connected up right to the head, it'll do what it's told to do. And so we ought to obey. But then the bride, we're the bride of Christ. And getting a bride is a special thing. And he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, the Bible said. And so we realize the fact that we having that wife and husband is a special relationship. And we have that special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a loving relationship. It's an intimate relationship. It's a relationship and a fellowship that you have with no other. It's nothing like being in marriage. Marriage is the closest thing we have in this world to illustrate what the church is to Christ. As the two, the Bible said, become one. And he speaks about that. But I want you to listen to this. And let me find where I want to start here. Don't want to leave any of it out. Verse 21 and chapter 5 of Ephesians. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I got one amen out of that. Amen. He's sitting over by himself, but he... I just happened to glance over and see it. That's like a two lions had a heading over them, henpecked and unhenpecked. There's one little fella standing in the henpecked crowd, and they asked him, said, what you doing standing over there? You ought to be over here. He said, that's where my wife told me to stand. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And sometimes we love to preach, you know, about wives submitting, wives being obedient and all that kind of stuff. But us husbands, we leave out, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I'll be honest with you, that always gets me. Because I realize the fact that if I don't love my wife like Christ loved the church, why should I expect anything back? We need to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Did you know we're precious in the sight of Jesus? He loved us so much, he died for us. He gave himself so he could purchase us unto himself, and we could share with him, be a joint heir with him. He put us in that relationship, that fellowship with him. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. I love that verse. Praise God. Present himself a glorious church. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Well, I'm saying tonight, the church, we're body and we're the bride. And for this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And when it's biblical and done the biblical way, it's right. And it can be a blissful thing. Amen. And so tonight, as we think about the purpose of the church, and the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and he loved us enough to give himself, he loves us so much that we ought to very willingly obey him, follow him. He's ahead. He knows the best way. He knows how to handle the situation. If we'll just let him help us in all of our lives, he'll guide and direct us, and he'll lead us on as we ought to go. And one day we'll stand yonder with him, the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Glorious. And they said they're glorious. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking but myself and God. Tonight, I don't know where you are. I don't know your fellowship with the Lord Jesus or your non-fellowship with him. I don't know if you're saved or lost. But if you need to get saved tonight, I do know this. Jesus saves sinners. I do know tonight that Jesus can make a difference. Jesus can help you. And tonight, on this Mother's Day, you couldn't give your mother anything any better than coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You couldn't do anything any more noble. Anything in this world that ever happened to you could never be any greater than giving yourself to Jesus. Saying, Lord, I give up. I want you to save me. Then maybe somebody here tonight that your life is just not where it needs to be with God. And you need help. You like to get right with God. You need to come. Just let Jesus help you. God speak into your heart. Maybe you got a burden for somebody. Maybe something happening. I don't know what's going on in your life. But let's stand, please. Father, speak to hearts tonight. I pray you'd help folk to respond and come. And we'll praise you and thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking. Myself and God. Invite you to come while she plays.